It's Friday night, which means it's time for another episode of the Friday Night Nicktoons Podcast. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Casey. Last time, we talked about roller coasters. We had some episodes from our listener, Norbert. And we got to look at our three most discussed Nicktoons, totally by coincidence. So that was a fun time.
Absolutely. We also put out our weekly Twitter poll asking which of these three roller coasters we discussed on the episodes you would like to go on. There was the Fiery Fist of Pain from SpongeBob, which won with 51% of the vote. Harold's Tyrannoscurus got 27%, and Fairly OddParents Heartstopper only got 22% of the vote. I think that there are some crazy people in this world, apparently.
Yeah, totally. I think people just knew the Fiery Fist of Pain the most, and the name is probably... No, I don't know. Tyrannoscurus is probably the best name. What were you guys... You guys got this one wrong. That objectively, you got it wrong.
You guys literally basically said you don't want spines. Which is fine, but...
Or maybe if an actual vertebrate goes on it with a spine, they won't lose it, because it seems like creatures who don't have spines lose their spines.
Oh, you're right, you're right. Maybe we're okay then.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, well, this week is very creatively called Flashback Friday, or FBF if we were tagging an Instagram post about this episode. We are looking at three flashback-related episodes. They all involve flashbacks, but they're all very different kinds of episodes, so this will be good to give us some variety, I think.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to this one. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now let's get started.
Our first episode is from Rugrats. It's called Sour Pickles, and it's Season 3, Episode 8B. This one aired on November 14th, 1993.
And in this one, when Stu and Drew begin bickering, Grandpa Lou reflects back on their childhood in the 50s when they were Rugrats themselves. And I'm going to sound like an idiot here. I never realized Stu, Drew, and Lou all rhymed until this moment.
I got Stu and Drew, but never really thought about it in terms of their dad, too. I think because I always think he's Dee Dee's father because of the glasses.
Yeah, that's fair. Fair logic. People, I mean, you know, if you have glasses, then your children all do, too. But Drew has glasses, too.
Well, this is a really cute episode. There's not a ton to dissect in it, but I love that we're in black and white when we go back to the 50s. It's also kind of scary to realize that Stu and Drew, like, Rugrats is old enough now where, like, the young-ish middle-aged adults
were born in the 50s. Like,
yeah. I mean, this episode was aired, what, almost 24 years ago. So it's older than either of us.
Older than both of us, yeah.
And
I was born 4 months later.
And I was about, what, 10 months after. But
a year.
A little bit less than, but close to. But still, that's nuts. It is kind of funny to see the way that, you know, things have changed, and, you know, we get the classic, like, Angelica being like, oh, you were kids, television was in black and white, and I feel like when we're adults, we'll probably have similar things, like, you mean when you were kids, you didn't just have the internet on your cell phone? I'm like, nope, no, we did not.
Right. Yeah, there'll be lots of things like that. I do love, so the black and white was a great choice for the flashback themselves, and it's Grandpa Lou sort of narrating it, but we don't get a lot of narration. We mostly just get visuals. Baby Stu literally has Tommy's voice when we flash back to Stu and Drew as babies bickering, and I didn't like that choice. I don't know, it took me out of it. And Stu looks too much like his adult self as a baby.
Yeah, I agree with both of those things. I don't know, it was a little strange. Not that Drew doesn't look like himself, but I believe Drew's the older brother, so I think he's supposed to be a little bit older. Stu looked a little too old for how young he's supposed to be, because he's supposed to be Tommy's age, and I agree. I mean, but there's no way it's just because it couldn't find another voice actor, right? Like, it didn't need to sound, I don't know. But it's like, Stu doesn't sound like Tommy, so it doesn't really make sense to me that that was the voice they chose.
Maybe it's like when Tommy grows up, he'll have the same voice as Stu. I don't know.
But like, I don't know, that's not really how things work either, right? Like, I don't sound exactly like my mom.
Yeah. That's true. There are some families that do, but regardless, as and babies don't talk, so it's all a moot point. Like, it's just a representation, but it still took me out of it. I kept thinking, "Wait, is that Tommy?" And then I was like, "Nope, it's clearly not Tommy." So
I think overall what I like most about this episode is just the idea that they have sort of cute little adventures, even despite their bickering and stuff, but like, you know, we get to see that they like having their fun adventures as babies too, and I think you do see, well, we see for sure Drew's obsession with money. He plays with this cash register toy and wants to play Haggle the game.
And he's like already got glasses and like a cropped haircut. They really just made them look like themselves as adults, but smaller, which is kind of fun, I guess.
The reverse of what they did with All Grown Up, right? Just, let's just take them. Age them.
That's exactly what it is.
There you go. There's not a whole lot for me to say, but there are some great spoofs up in here. They got Blocky and Oxwinkle, which is, of course, the show of the century. Kids are all pumped to watch it, which is literally just, it's a block shaped, I don't even know, guy. It just looks like a cartoon made out of blocks. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's just like classic cartoon antics, and the whole plot of this episode is basically baby Stu and Drew trying to watch TV and Grandpa Lou stopping them. They're like sharing a crib. It's, you know, them getting into hijinks. So Lou even calls them Rugrats. He does a title drop, which I loved.
Yeah, title drops are always high qual, but overall, yeah, I just thought it was cute. It's not anything. I mean, you know, I mean, in general, Rugrats, you don't really watch it for crazy and insightful deep plot, but I think, you know, it kind of shows the ways that the parents grew up. I think it's fun to sort of remember that they were brothers and that means that they grew up together, and sort of, you know, delve into that bickering a little bit more. And
Right.
the ending is also really cute. They end up the same show, Blocky and Oxwinkle, ends up showing up on the TV, and they, as adults, are still like dying of laughter to the show. They still love it, and I think it's sort of, you know, that cute sibling dynamic that we see where they bicker, but they still love each other and they still have fun times and whatnot. So.
Exactly. And you know, this whole tracking the whole Angelica is playing with a kaleidoscope at the beginning. She won't let Tommy see it. And then at the very end, she does let him see it once they let him look through it once they watch Blocky and Oxwinkle. Can we talk about the fight itself too? That it's the like most juvenile, silly fight. They're just upset about like whether Drew respects Stu's inventions or not and why he won't buy toys from him. Like Stu offers to make toys for Angelica and Drew keeps going, "I'll just go buy it, thank you."
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, some of Stu's inventions are a little out of hand, right?
People sides, yeah, I do.
But I also guess, yeah, I do see both sides. You know, he is trying his best to make things that Angelica will like, or that kids will like in general. So it's, I see
For
both sides,
sure.
but they
But
were
I certainly.
very, very heated about it, but.
Right. And it's a fun tie-in. It's a fun tie-in to the present when Angelica hears the part about, in the flashback, about baby Stu and baby Drew jumping on that recliner to watch the TV like a trampoline. And she goes, "I want a trampoline, Daddy." And Stu goes, or Drew, Stu goes, "I'll make one for you." And like, of all the toys to be made by your brother, I don't think I would trust a trampoline that was handmade. Like, they're already so dangerous.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and say that one's a little bit iffy, to say the least. And I'm sure, knowing Steve, he'd want to put some fun twist on it. That would go terribly, terribly wrong. But, you know, again, at the end of the day, they're still brothers. They still care. And overall, I just think it's a cute, fun episode of Rugrats. It gives us a little bit of insight. And, yeah, definitely black and white is a great way to sort of tie it in, really give us that old-timey kind of feel. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Me too. And we open and close with the same image of the inside of a kaleidoscope. I loved that through line.
Also made me want a kaleidoscope in my life.
Oh, same.
I'm saying maybe whoever wins trivia should get a kaleidoscope.
Oh, that's a great idea. Done.
Deal. Won't forget it. It'll be great. Yeah. That's all I've got to say. Anything else?
Nope. Let's move on to Chalk Zone.
Our next episode is from Chalk Zone. It's entitled Rudy's First Adventure. It's from Season 1, Episode 1A, the very first one, and aired March 22nd, 2002.
And in this one, while Rudy is in detention, he finds the magic chalk and goes into Chalk Zone, a place where all of the erased chalk pictures go. He meets Snap, a picture of a superhero that he drew, and a monster named Bully Nerd, based on Reggie Bull Nerd. With Snap's help, Rudy tries to beat this thick-headed monster, and it, of course, is all framed as a flashback. We start out with, you know, Rudy's parents are looking for him, and he's off in Chalk Zone, fighting monsters and, you know, having adventures with Snap, and then we get a flashback to his discovery of Chalk Zone. It's a clever concept, especially for the first episode of the show.
Yeah, I love how they do this, how it sort of goes, you know, I don't know, I guess like almost backwards in order from what you'd expect. Like, we see it in the beginning and him just being in the Chalk Zone, we're just thrown straight into it, and We get a couple of things, too. We get, like, a reference. Snap is, like, running up these stairs, and he's like, oh, these are the stairs that Rudy drew, or whatever. And then, while Rudy's in the car, we get this 2 years ago flashback. I think it's such a fun way to start it out, that we aren't just starting immediately with the origin, which is pretty typical, but we sort of get to see the, you know, the product of it, and then we backtrack to be like, well, how did this all start?
Totally. It was really, really great. And, so Rudy gets punished in school in the flashback right away for drawing Reggie Bull Nerd as Bully Nerd. And which, you know, as awful as Reggie is, that is kind of a rude thing to do in general. So I see why he was punished. And he has to write cartoons are not funny over and over again, like Bart Simpson style. And I thought that was kind of meta and clever.
Yeah, I liked it too. Is a fun little play on that. Shortly after that, we do get this sort of, it's a little, I don't know, a little anticlimactic, in my opinion. He just picks up a piece of chalk, happens to be magic, which is fine, but I don't know, it's a little strange of a way for that all to go down.
Yeah, I'd even buy it if it, like, descended from the heavens to him, you know? But it's like, it was just sitting in the box, so, like, anyone could have found it. I'd rather have a sort of Rudy is the chosen one sort of angle to it instead of, like, oh, Reggie could have found it if he had been drawing with the chalk.
Yeah, especially considering it seems like Rudy has been known to draw a lot with chalk, right? Like, when we get into the Chalk Zone, he has plenty of his drawings specifically are living there, and everyone knows him. So he's a pretty avid chalk artist, so it makes sense to me if, or even if we see, I don't know, like, Snap, like, somehow getting it through the portal to him or something, you know, like.
Right. Yeah, that would have been awesome. That's a great idea.
But alas, he just pulls it out of the box. He happens to be the chosen one or the not chosen one, I guess, the random one. But
then for some reason, most of the drawings are his and they all like worship him. Like, it doesn't make sense.
It's either that or no, because there is.
Like, wouldn't it be all the chalk erasings in the world in Chalk Zone, not just Rudy's?
I think it is. I think it's just that, and this is my guess, is that because the Chalk Zone is where the portal is, right? So most of what's in that area are things that he drew, because it seems like he drew more with chalk.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. No one else is obsessively drawing. It's just him.
So.
Huh. Okay. I'll buy it. The music in Chalk Zone is fantastic, even separate from the songs they do every episode. Just the sort of background music is always sort of keeping you going and keeping everything energized.
Absolutely. And I'll say overall, because we've visited Chalk Zone a couple of times, I think, right?
I think just the one, we dedicated a whole episode to it, but have not touched it otherwise.
Okay, because as I said, I feel like during those ones, we weren't necessarily bored, but we weren't, like, thrilled with it, necessarily. I feel like this
right.
one...
We were a little underwhelmed.
This one did it for me. I don't know. I don't know exactly why, but for me, it really felt like the Chalk Zone I missed and loved.
It's very creative and exciting.
Yeah, and, like I said, you get sort of these, like, it's kind of a continuity thing. It's within the same episode, but I like the way that it goes in reverse, right? Like, we see him be like, oh, I remember when Rudy drew these stairs, and then we get to see how he drew them. It's, you know, I mean, it's a flashback. That's kind of how it works, but it's a cool order of how the things work, and...
Yep, and, like, we see Bathtub Lady in the very beginning. Bathtub Lady's an amazing character. And it's sort of like, because this is the first episode, so it's like, okay, there's a Bathtub Lady, I guess. And then we see her sort of introduction in the second half of the episode. I thought it was so clever.
Yeah, and I also like how she's miserable. She's like, thanks a lot. I've got a great life here. I mean, she's a woman who's just permanently stuck in a bathtub.
Although she does get out for a little bit at the end.
That is true. Part of me was wondering if she didn't get legs because he didn't draw them, but it seems like she does, so it's okay.
And they basically defeat Bully Nerd with a shark. The actual plot of the episode isn't too important. It's more that just we are introduced to the world. We're introduced to Snap as this adventurous sort of leader. Even though Rudy's the protagonist, it feels like Snap is always leading the charge. And no Penny yet. I wonder if that comes in the second episode of this chunk.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, because she's obviously a pretty big part of the series as a whole. I do want to mention real quick, too, because I know I complain about fight scenes a lot. I feel like these ones are another where it feels creative, right? Like, you're curious, like, what is he going to draw? How is this going to go? And it's a lot more interesting than just, I hit him with this, he hit me back.
I completely agree. Yeah, because with Chalk Zone, it's less about the fighting, and it's more about creative solutions to problems.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, like I said, this one did it for me. This one felt like Chalk Zone that I loved. We were a little underwhelmed, and I'm feeling like we should give it more of a chance than we have then. I feel like we've been a little reluctant to go back to it, and I feel like maybe there's some more gold in there.
I completely agree. Let's, make it a point, I think, in the next few months to work in Chalk Zone episodes wherever we can. I'm all about that.
Absolutely. I think that's about everything I've got. Anything else for you?
That's it for me.
All right, let's move on to Danny Phantom.
Our third episode is from Danny Phantom. It is called The Fenton Menace. It's from Season 2, Episode 7, and it aired on October 7th, 2005.
And in this one, Danny's friends and family think that he's going crazy when he claims that he's seeing a ghost that no one else can. Jazz decides to go on a vacation where they go camping for the whole family, but Danny decides that he needs to, you know, prove that this ghost is actually real. It's also kind of interesting because pretty much the entirety of this episode is narrated by Jazz, so I thought that was kind of cool to see her perspective.
Yeah, Jazz is, I think, a great character. And yeah, we start with a freeze frame, which is great. It's like the Fenton family all in their car, freaking out. And I was really hoping for a record scratch and a, yep, that's me. I'll bet you're wondering how I got here or something like that. But it's kind of similar. She goes, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. And then we go back in time. I like that it was tropey. It's kind of self-aware. And Danny Phantom, just like Fairly Odd Parents, is so larger than life and so cartoonish that they're allowed to get away with stuff like that.
Definitely. And, I mean, this one's definitely the least far-back flashback, I'd say, of the three. You know, we're not going years. I'd say actually in order. We go back a lot of years in the Rugrats episode, 2 years in Rudy's, and I'm not sure exactly how long. I think it might even be within, like, the same day or so that we're flashing back to. But either way, still counts. So we start out, they're in the submarine, which also their family is just crazy. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the Wild Thornberrys and how they're always off doing things in crazy situations, only even less real than that.
Yeah. It is. I think the first thing we should really address, big picture, is the fact that Jazz knows and keeps it from Danny on purpose. So, you know, Jazz finds out mid-show, so she doesn't know at the beginning, and then episodes into, I think somewhere in season one or early season two, she finds out, and now she's just sort of, the new angle of the show is that she's keeping it from him, and I love that dynamic.
I do too, and it shows that she does, you know, she cares about him. She wants him to keep doing it. She doesn't want him to get too wrapped up in him, like, she cares about him and wants to make sure he's safe, but at the same time, she wants him to have it, you know, she wants him to have it for himself and be able to go out there into the ghost world and all that and just own it. And I think it's a great addition to the dynamic. I think it makes, you know, the character so much interesting. I'm also going to throw out, I like this episode a lot because we don't get a lot of Tucker, which is always great.
Too real. Yeah, Ashley and I have made our opinions on Tucker very clear. Sam is great and has some nice little snappy one-liners, but we don't see too much of Sam or Tucker in this episode because Jazz kind of forces them out.
Which, like I said, I think it's cool to see that sort of family removed from his friends sort of a thing, because unlike Fairly Odd Parents, I think the friends play a pretty major role most of the time. You know, we see a lot of Sam and Tucker a lot of the time, so it's good to sort of see them off in their weird family dynamic sort of go on. And, I mean, that's a lot of this episode. There's that, and there's also sort of this overarching idea that the ghost that only Danny can see is this cowboy, and I guess only, he's something the young blood, I forget his name, and so Danny's basically trying to, by the end of it, make Jazz act like a kid, because Jazz always acts like she's so much older than she is, and that's why, even though she technically is young enough, she still can't see the ghost, because she thinks she's an adult. So I thought that whole, I don't know, that whole idea of making Jazz feel young again was kind of cute.
You know what I'm realizing the two of them remind me of is Morty and Summer in Rick and Morty. The sort of younger brother, immature, but, like, adventurous, and then the older sister who thinks she's way too, like, good for everything. It's a common trope, but, and maybe the fact that she's a redhead like Summer also sort of fits into that mold.
Yeah, no, I see it, though. I mean, yeah, probably a common thing, but I think, too, just the idea of, like, there's these wild antics, and sort of a similar thing, too, right? Summer's not, if I'm remembering properly, she's not super involved in the beginning of the series, right? And she sort of slowly walks away in.
Right.
And so that's sort of what happens.
That's very true, yeah. Weird.
And then poor Danny in this episode. Like, he really is losing it. It's kind of cool to see the psychological effect of his powers, because that would mess anybody up.
And especially just the idea of, like, he's like, does nobody see this? And everyone just thinks he's nuts. I mean, and to be fair, I think he even starts to question it within the episode, and I think that's kind of cool, too. Like, he starts thinking, like, I don't even know, maybe this is a figment of my imagination, maybe this ghost isn't even real. So you see him question his sanity as well, and I think that's, I don't know, it's just an interesting sort of dynamic there. We also get, and this is more on just the joke side, that Danny's dad basically was told not to bring any ghost hunting equipment on the trip, and he basically just has it hidden everywhere, like in the bathroom of their, RV or whatever. He has a suit there that he, like, goes and feels, and he keeps his guns secretly in his pockets and everything. I don't know. I think it's a funny idea that he's that obsessed with ghost hunting that he can never stop.
Right, and we've never really truly given enough respect to the whole concept that Danny's a ghost and his parents are ghost hunters. That's an awesome premise for a TV show.
Yeah, and they're also very bad at what they do, clearly.
Right, because they have a ghost living among them. They can't figure it out.
And it's also kind of funny that, in a way, right, Danny is a successful ghost hunter all the time. He wasn't even really trying for it.
And yeah, so I don't know, we have been hard on Danny Phantom in the past, but we really just don't like Tucker and we don't like fight scenes, so if we don't have a lot of that, I think we're on board with Danny Phantom.
Yeah, and this one, I think the fight scenes were fair. I think they were decently lengthed, and like I said, a lot of it was still dealing with just these family dynamics and sort of the pressure of, like, are they going to find out that he is. Is she going to mess up? And
right. And we get the witty banter and everything mid-fight sequence that makes it Danny Phantom. You know, the little one-liners that are supposed to be clever but aren't that clever.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. There's, I don't know, one great line that I want to backtrack to really quickly. So after Danny first sees this ghost, his parents decide to, like, spin him around on the table to spin the crazy out of him. And then Sam is like, when he gets to school, he's like, what's up with you? And he's like, I don't know, he says something about, what do I look like? I didn't get enough sleep or something? Like, leave me alone. She was like, well, I was going to say you look like you're just spinning around on a table for a long time, but I thought that was great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Sam is fantastic. We also had, you know, the foint-ment moment where they're like, well, we'll use the Fenton ointment or foint-ment. No, that got to me.
The dumb little jokes that get you, too. Like, I don't know. You know, foint-ment is great. And, yeah, I agree. I think this has kind of been an episode, minus Rugrats, but where I'm sort of seeing better sides of episodes, or of shows that we've been a little too hard on. So I think between Danny Phantom and Chalkman, we should definitely explore more into them.
For sure, and keep in mind, you know, for shows we've only seen an episode or two of and didn't like, to give them more of a chance. Like with Rocko's Modern Life, we didn't love it first. And then we watched Wacky Deli, and it was one of the funniest things we watched this year.
Wacky Deli has got to be up in my top. Honestly, I would even say top 5 Nickteen episodes we've watched on the show.
Yeah, mine too. And we'll, of course, when we get to New Year's, have to do another one of our countdowns like we did last year. That was fun.
Absolutely. And we're not getting there, but more than halfway through the year now, which is wild, so.
Yeah.
It'll be our first full calendar year on the podcast, so that's kind of fun.
That is fun, which means a lot more episodes to go through, so hopefully you and me will have somewhat differing countdowns. What do you say?
Yeah, we'll have to see, and then maybe we can pick, like, a favorite episode of Between the Whole podcast just for fun, get a little more variety. I don't know. We'll have to see if we disagree.
Right.
All right. I think I said everything I need to say.
Yeah, let's do trivia.
All right, it's time for Nick Trivia, the segment where me and Casey each ask each other a Nick-related trivia question, or sometimes podcast-related. But whatever it is, our current standings are Casey at 4, me at 3. We've been doing really well this season. Let's see if we can keep it up.
All right, round 5 time, Ashley. Here we go. Which show was Gray Delisle Griffin not a voice on? I've got 4 options for you here. Rugrats, Preschool Days, All Grown Up, or Chalk Zone?
Dang, the rough thing is I actually cannot name what character she would be on any of those shows.
Yeah, she's not a major character on any of them, so it's not the fairest question, but it's still interesting, I think.
I'm just saying, like I was hoping there'd be one that...
Fine, 5th choice, Avatar The Last Airbender.
Don't be like this. Not that one. Got that one out. Okay, down to 4. You know, my initial thought was there's no way she's on Preschool Days, but then I'm like, why would you put it in there if she wasn't? Because I'm sad that if it's true that she voiced it, because that show is so much worse than she is. But part of me feels like she's up in there somewhere. You know what? I'm going to go with, and this is just because of the age of the show, I'm going to go with Rugrats' final answer.
Sorry, Ashley, that is incorrect.
Dang.
She was Reptar on Rugrats.
Oh, wow.
She's also the McNulty children.
Okay, yeah.
She was also in Preschool Days.
Okay, that's rough.
I know. And she was in Chalk Zone. She was on 7 episodes of Chalk Zone.
Oh, that's weird. I would not have thought All Grown Up would be the one she wouldn't be in.
Yeah.
Just for no good reason. It felt like she would have shown up at some point. Interesting. All right, well, I'm not gonna catch up this week, but maybe you won't get mine right and we'll still be where we're at. Let's find out. In honor of Flashback Friday, I've decided to do something sort of flashing back on some of our podcast here. My question is, of these 4 episodes, which episode did we do first? So these are like podcast episodes, not show episodes. And just which of them came first? Was it A, unaired episodes, B, formula breakers, C, video games, or D, sleepover?
Oh, geez. So I know video games was in the 30s. I think it was 30, so it was not that. Unaired episodes, I feel like, was later. At least 20s. And then I know that... Sorry, what were the other two?
Formula Breakers and Sleepover.
Formula Breakers was number 13. I remember that because we picked it as our favorite that we did last year. And I'm so sorry, what was the last one?
Sleepover.
Maybe Sleepover was 13. Maybe Formula... I'm going to go with Sleepover, final answer.
All right. Well, that is also incorrect. Sleepover was 13. Formula Breakers was 10. So that one came first.
10?
10.
Wow.
Which is pretty early. Unaired episodes was 16. So not that far out.
Jeez.
And video games is 20.
Oh, they were all within 10, huh? It feels like we did feels like we did video games so much more recently.
That's honestly how I felt too. But I was like, oh, weird. I figured I do them all within 10 of each other, but they are at least 3 episodes apart. I figured that made it a little more fair. Like, crazy.
I should know that. I really should have known that. All right, well, my streak comes to an end.
Huh. All right, well, I guess we're stuck at 4, so we still overall pretty solid rounds of trivia. Interested to see how the season shakes out.
For sure. All right, so let's head to our conclusion with our fun fact, Twitter poll, and a preview of next week. All right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, before we begin our usual conclusion, we just want to do a little celebratory post. We reached our little celebratory bit here. We reached our 100th Twitter follower, so thank you all very much. I do know that we have more listeners than that. I don't follow, like, most of the podcasts I listen to on Twitter, so kind of exciting to hit that milestone, and, you know, we value you guys and your input, so... Please keep tweeting us your episode ideas. We got a couple since Norbert, so that's really fun, and we'll be working those in very soon.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there. Twitter, @FNN_podcast. If you haven't seen us there, find us there. We love hearing from you guys, and thank you guys so much for getting us to that 100 mark. It's been a lot of fun, and, you know, we're kind of a smaller market, so I'm glad we've got some dedicated listeners. Our fun fact for this week is that Elizabeth Daly voiced both Rudy and Tommy, and obviously Baby Stu within that episode as well. But I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I didn't realize it until watching the episodes back to back, and it was like, yes, of course Rudy is the same voice as Tommy.
Yeah, it became much more clear when I watched them one after the other, probably especially because we heard so much of Tommy's voice, but it was like, wow, yes, that's him. Or her, I guess, but you know.
Yeah. All right, well, our Twitter poll for this week is, who would you rather have as a dad, Stu or Drew Pickles? It's sort of an age-old conundrum that has come up a few times of, how are the parents on Rugrats, really?
Yeah, I think we talked about before whether Drew or, what's her name, is worse, I think. It's interesting, I think, to sort of, you know, pair these two against each other. They're very different, so I think there's very different reasons to want either of them as a parent, but interested to see what you guys think.
Sure.
Next
and
week,
they both have their issues.
Oh, 100%. They both have plenty of them. Next week, We will be doing a Ren and Stimpy special. We've been trying to special all of the shows that we talk about as of recently, and we haven't touched Ren and Stimpy in a long time, so definitely hoping to find some of the greatest episodes from that one, and I think it'll be fun.
Me too. We actually haven't touched it since one of your trivia answers. The unaired episodes was the last time we discussed Ren and Stimpy.
Dang. Hopefully it'll be interesting.
That I can agree with. All right, well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thanks for the 100 follows, and we'll see you next time.